It is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
That tipped me off. You know, I hate fumble. I hate any type of turnover. The first one that tipped me off because we had them right. It was right down there. You know, they left point zone. They could have scored right then and there. That tipped me off. Then the last one, just two hands on the ball. Try to have two hands on the ball. Could have just took a sack if anything, but it happens. Football.
That's Lamar Jackson on those fumbles. Here's Peyton Manning off the first play. Raiders first play. Peyton Manning on the Manning Cast had this to say.
Tell me everything I need to know.
All right. Incomplete. Okay. What does that tell you?
Looking at 6-11. 6-11 right now.
Sham.
Jeez.
Okay, for reals, what if they go 6-11?
I mean, he may not be wrong.
I mean, 6-11 is very realistic, right? Raider record,
but
this year.
You know, that's a little pessimistic. Also, Peyton had some... You got a crack on your little brother.
Riddell makes precision fit helmets now. They fit for your head specifically. Head? Yes, for big heads. All right, that's the new thing.
You need some more powder on that forehead. You look like you sprayed Pam all over it.
Okay, here we go. Now it starts, right?
Excuse me, Eli on Peyton. I don't think either of them should be talking about foreheads.
No.
There's a five-head. That's a five-head convention. I'm a member of that five-head convention. Those are five-heads, especially Peyton. Peyton's got a lot of... Peyton could run an advertisement.
Yeah, no, you could put post-it notes on there, several of them.
On his... one other note before we get to Sean Salisbury. I don't know, you probably didn't watch the New York Giants game. But there's a moment where Joe Judge, he threw a challenge flag on a play, except it was a play you couldn't challenge. So the Giants lost a timeout. There's no way around it. It's a coach mistake that cost him a timeout, and timeouts are a big, big deal. Here was his explanation.
I know you can't challenge a scoring play. That was a little bit more of an emotional. I was looking for feedback from the officials. It looked to me on the Jumbotron, and some feedback I got from up top watching the replay, that he may have stepped in the white. I was screaming for the officials. You know, they're supposed to get some feedback from, you know, what they're hearing in New York in terms of feedback on it. I had to do something to draw their attention. I couldn't even turn around, so I threw the flag. I knew it couldn't have been a challenge play. I fully take awareness of that and ownership of that. I told the team that was something that, you know, obviously I can't do again, a waste of time out. But that was something in the moment, guys. To be honest with you, I had to get somebody's attention at some point and see if we can make sure that they're looking at the same things we were looking at. I can't tell you whether it was good or not. Obviously, they ruled it was good. I'll go and trust what their opinion was on that, and they have good views of it as well. That was more something right there. I was just trying to get their attention, and I was looking for feedback, which we're supposed to get from the officials on the field.
Are you sure?
Okay.
Are you sure, Joe?
There is just so much wrong with that football team, dude. So much wrong with that football team.
Are you sure, Joe Judge, that's what happened? No, bro, you screwed up. Just own it.
He did a really good job, though, of trying to make that sound legitimate.
Here's the thing. Sean Salisbury is ready for us as Jay goes and grabs him. Not too hard, by the way. Sean's, you know, a little sore, probably, being an ex-football player. Here's the thing about that. It's funny. We laugh about it, make fun of Joe. But if I'm a Giants fan, I actually take that a little bit more seriously because he screwed up. And he deflected and he made excuses and he hemmed and he hawed. You need coaches to have players be accountable. And if I'm a Giants player and I see that, I'm thinking, how are you going to ask me to be accountable when I screw up, when you can't be accountable when you screw up? A coach is as much a leader and a psychologist as he is an X and O guy, especially the head coach. Like, come on, dude. You can't have that attitude and expect accountability out of your own players. You can't do it. If I'm a Giants fan, it's going to be made fun of all over the place, but if I'm a Giants fan and I'm doing New York radio, or I'm a New York analyst, I have a real problem with that. Just accept it. Just accept that you screwed up. Well, Lamar Jackson did. Meanwhile, John Gruden was all over the place emotionally, as were many Raider fans. We're going to talk about that game right now, as we do each and every Tuesday with our good friend Sean Salisbury. I believe we have a do we have a special intro for Sean?
Remember we talked about that?
Oh, we did. You told me earlier.
The voice
today,
guy keeps messing his name up. Yeah, I'm going on my 4th revision.
Listen, here's
Sean.
You told me before the show, but listen, Sean does a ton of shows, including his own in Houston. Does a show in the Bay Area. He's on everywhere.
And he just hung up on us.
And we just lost his. Maybe he hung up on us because we don't have a special intro for him. I could see that. I see Sean hearing that and go, you know, I'm done. I'm not doing it. I'm not coming on your show until you have my intro ready. But in cases like Lamar Jackson, Joe Judge, these are all things. It's one of the 10 billion reasons why I love having Sean on, because he did play under center, because he does coach. He can, you know, we can analyze all we want from the sidelines. When Sean does it, it means something. Joining us right now, as he does each and every Tuesday at 8:05, you can hear him on Houston Sports Radio. You can hear him all over the place, but we always have a special place in our heart. You know, Sean may have many significant others, but he always makes us feel like we're special.
Right.
The one, the only Sean Salisbury. Good morning, buddy.
I guess I can say it. I'm so glad that I'm your bitch. I like saying that.
No, we're yours.
By the way, you know what? Sometimes I can be yours, you can be mine. Here I am on a Tuesday. It's raining. We're back, getting ready to battle a hurricane. I can't even get an open.
I know. You know
what? Embarrassing, man.
I
got to go, man. They're going to get all scared and say, oh, Sean, not this again. Remember the last time you guys got in an argument?
I'm going to be fully honest with you, because we are brothers. I am always honest with you. We had the intro ready, but we send the voice work off to the voice guy, and he came. Jay, I believe it was Salisbury?
Twice. And phonetically spelled it and everything.
We're not going to obviously he's not a sports fan. We're not going to disrespect you by having your own open mispronounce your damn last name.
Yeah, why would you disrespect a goat? You can't do that. Let me tell you another thing.
Yes.
Oh, it's that. Yeah, I got it. Pass the buck on the sound guy. That's like, you know, when you go out with your buddies,
right,
and there's like four of them, and you all go and you get beer, and you get some like a steak or a bunch of food. The bill comes in and it's $280. Some dude's looking at it. He rolls up like a $5 bill when his part's like $90.
Right.
He puts like a $5 and rolls it up to make it look like there's and scrunches it up like there's 20 other dollars in there,
right,
and throws it into the middle and just happens to go to the restroom while everybody else is paying. See, that's what you guys did. It's the old I confess, it's the sound guy's fault day.
I just passed the buck.
What are you guys up to, Beth?
Well, it's a great segue, Jay, because we just played a clip from Joe Judge, the head coach of the Giants. Over the weekend, Joe Judge threw a challenge flag and on a play he couldn't challenge, and it cost him a timeout. And then we just played the clip from his presser where he said, yeah, I knew you couldn't challenge that play. I was trying to get the ref's attention and I was emotional, but I knew you couldn't challenge the play. My question for you, and this is where, again, as always, you can provide insight that we don't know because we've never played. My guess is there's some players that are going to hear that on the Giants and say, hold on, you want me to be accountable when I screw up on the field and you're hemming and hawing at your press conference? I'm going to lose a little respect for you for that. Am I reading too much into that, or does Joe Judge need to be more accountable even for the small things?
Yeah, and one thing, help me with this, because the one thing I don't, do you get penalized if you throw a flag when you don't have a timeout?
Yeah, you lose it. Yes, you do, I believe.
That's a great question, because my thought process is, let's just say, Dave, for a second, and then I'll get to this. Let's just say, because there could be a method to some madness. Now, maybe Joe Judge wasn't even thinking about that. Mm-hmm. But I'm sitting there thinking, okay, let's say a team's on a roll and they're getting momentum, and your defense, or, you know, let's just say your defense is on the field, right?
Sure.
And you're getting tired and you don't have any timeouts left, and you want the guy's opinion. And it wasn't, I'm saying, if you weren't penalized, or they're at the 35 and you're up 8, you know, and there's that time, whatever the situation, you say, let me throw this flag and then let's slow this pace down. Let me get my defense catching their breath. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I wonder if we're ever going to get to the point where a guy says, yeah, I know. I would imagine Joe Judge knows. I'd like to think he knows the rules, but you can't. That's the old, yeah, I knew that was going to happen after. That's the game I bet. Yet you're afraid to post your bet on beforehand to let us all see it, to prove to us that that was your bet. Same thing here. I trust that Joe George would know the rules. I keep saying that.
Jeff George.
One of my producers, his name is Joe George.
He is.
Joe Judge. The crazy thing is, and he came from Belichick, and I can remember, I think it was Roosevelt Colvin who played. There was a rule when the ball went out of the end zone, and Roosevelt Colvin was talking about the Patriots. And he said, when people did, the refs didn't know the rule. This is like 4 years ago. And he said, oh, Bill Belichick, he would have gone over that rule with all of us players. And you think, well, Joe Judge is a Belichick guy. So I would hope that he did. But, yes, you make a great point. If it's penalized or if it's not, the after effect is like, wait a minute, coach, we're accountable. If we would have done something stupid that we didn't know, you'd have said, we got to know better. So, yes, but we see this a lot with coaches. That they don't quite know what's going on, whether it's game management or when to use a timeout. You can't throw a flag, which you can and can't. I'm actually fascinated that coaches can't sit down and say, okay, here's 10 plays you can't throw a flag on, and a red flag. You didn't have one left. They've got to be aware. Yes, you can definitely lose depending on who it is and how many times it happens. The players could definitely get to a point and say, wait a minute now. If accountability goes one way, it's a two-way street. There's no doubt.
So we just looked it up. It's a 15-yard penalty, actually.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I'd use it if it was me. Mm-hmm. If there was a situation in a game where the penalty didn't completely kill me, and I needed the tempo to slow down, let's say I'm up 13 points, there's 4 minutes to go. We used all our timeouts early, but they're on a roll, and to slow the tempo down, it's similar to a – you know, you call it a timeout or what have you when you have one in another sport, or your pitcher walks off the mound so the hitter can't dig in, or the pitcher's going good and the hitter steps out of the batter's box four times, something like that. So at some point in time, I would imagine somebody would use that even though it's a penalty, but you have to know the rules. You have to know the situation because you can't allow game situations to cost a coach's decision to cost you a game. It didn't in this one because it was the game was in hand, but you still have to make sure respect from your players is more important. If you're going to ask it, you better give it.
Sean Salisbury joining us this morning. Sean, it was a hell of a week one, starting with the Bucks and Cowboys, but I want to go to last night's game, Ravens-Raiders. Your Raiders pulled that one out in overtime. Quickly, I want to get your thoughts on both quarterbacks, Derek Carr and Lamar Jackson, last night.
Yeah, guys, and real quick, I'm telling you, the depth at starting quarterback in this league for dynamite players. Mm. Think about this. If I look at Jimmy Garoppolo's numbers, and he had a hell of a game. And if that was Aaron Rodgers normally or Russ Wilson, we'd say without knowing the name, we'd say, damn, what a performance. The four quarterbacks just in the NFC West alone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, dude, oh, Garoppolo, you had a Pro Bowl game. You had the other three cats went by you by about eight, by a mile, yet Jimmy played well. The point I'm making is, look around the league. The second half of Zach Wilson, Darnold. I mean, they have Mayfield's performance, Mahomes. Everywhere you look, we got 18 catch. Joe Burrow that are phenomenal. Last night proved it again. Now, with Lamar Jackson, guys, here's the problem when they can't run it with other players with the depth. And when you're so dynamic as he is, and we know this, and I think everybody wonders, well, can Lamar beat you from the pocket on a consistent basis if everything else isn't working? I still think that the jury's out on that. But we know that when he's doing it, that this is one of the more dynamic, top three dynamic players in the league, and an ultimate weapon when he's going, when he's got all of it at his disposal. But I still think there's another level that he has to get to, that if a defense takes everything away and says, dude, you're playing catch-up, you better be able to throw from the pocket on a regular basis to beat me consistently. I think that question still exists, but damn, is he a dynamic player. Carr looked like a poised MVP last night. Look like if you get that all year long, the Raiders will be in the playoffs. But he was accurate. He had guts. He made plays in the end. And people are going to ask, well, will he do that in Kansas City in December? Can he do that in Buffalo in January? Derek Carr looked last night like not only was he settled in, but that he knows that how important it is to make sure John Gruden knows that he's the guy. He's never lacked confidence. I, as a Raider guy, I loved his performance, going nuts last night. What a crazy game. But that's just two more quarterbacks. And if I said name me the top 15 right now, you probably wouldn't put Lamar in there as reigning MVP. You'd probably leave Carr out, sadly. Yet games like that say, how can I leave that dude out of the top 15? And, you know, with the Prescotts of the world, I was impressed with both quarterback play because, well, but the problem with Lamar is, guys, with these injuries, think about what he has to face. I know this, and all of us, you guys, in anything we do, when we have an ultimate strength, what do? When things go crazy, we rely on that.
Yep.
My question for Lamar moving forward is, can he get to a point where he doesn't want to bail early and say, when in doubt, rely on my feet all the time, which ain't a bad thing. I don't want to coach it out of him. But in order for them to get where they got to go, he's going to have to get to a point where he just dominates you from the pocket. Then the league's screwed if he ever gets to that point.
Sean Salisbury with us. We were talking about you earlier, saying you, along with John Clayton, to us at least, are the godfathers of the whole embrace debate movement that we see everywhere. And with that in mind, last night I was we were writing some stuff up. I want to do something with you this year, overreaction or just a reaction Tuesday. I've got 10 things here, lightning round, Sean. I just want you to give me a yay or nay and whatever you might think on a few things I wrote up for you based on week one Tuesday. Number one, are the Raiders better than we thought?
Overreaction, and if what I saw last night is even 80% of what the Raiders are going to be, then I'll be wrong with this. I hope I'm wrong, but a little overreaction after one game.
The Ravens are worse than we thought.
I don't think the Ravens are going to make the playoffs.
Okay.
And I think I don't know if they're worse. I think what you saw last night may be them. If Lamar doesn't play like Superman, they may be on the outside looking in.
Are the Packers far worse than we thought coming into this season?
Packers won't host all the playoff games at home. They will not have the best record in the NFC. But if you want to make a bet on them this week, because Aaron Rodgers will not live in that basement two times. He's the best scorekeeper in the league.
I put this one in just for you because of your home base there. Were the Houston Texans, now keep in mind, most people had them getting the number one pick in the draft, worst team, so this is relative, but were the Houston Texans underrated coming into this season?
Yes. Now, if underrated means 3, 4.5.
Sure.
And yes, but they also played a team that's putrid, but their veterans will keep them in it. I think this team will surprise. They're going to beat a team they're not supposed to. If they play like that, they'll be in the Cleveland game, but better than people think because they don't beat themselves, at least after one game. Tyrod Taylor's also the perfect guy right now, considering what's going on.
The NFC West at 4-0 is the best division in football.
Not close. Absolutely. Not underrated. Matter of fact, we keep saying they are. They may even be better than we thought at the beginning of the season. And keep an eye on Kyler Murray. He'll have the quantum leap season that Lamar Jackson had to make him the MVP in the league. I don't know if he'll win it. He'll be in the talk in December.
Not the only 4-0 division, though. The AFC West, Raiders, Chiefs, Broncos, Chargers. Is that the second best team, in your opinion, in the NFL?
Second best division? Absolutely, because we thought maybe the AFC North, but if Baltimore, it depends. Pittsburgh, second half, it sure is, especially with the quarterback play you got from Bridgewater, Herbert, Carr, and who am I leaving out in the AFC? Oh, and Mahomes, obviously.
Right.
Yes, they're the teams in the West. So SportsCenter and ESPN, take notice. We do play football on the West Coast. Yes, it is the second best division to the NFC West. It's pretty impressive.
Now, a little more difficult here. Is the NFC North the worst division in football?
The AFC South wasn't very good. That, I mean, especially depending, but I can't picture Tennessee and Indianapolis going through that. The NFC North, not even well, let me go through. Yeah, they are the best, especially with the way the young quarterbacks are going to play in the AFC East and Buffalo. Yep, NFC North is the worst. They'll fight and they'll compete, but it's the North. One team makes the playoffs, the rest will be – they'll flounder around because Matt Nagy seems to be waiting to put in a quarterback. Detroit's obviously not very talented, and the Minnesota Vikings are good in the regular season. They're all hat, no cattle in the postseason.
Is the NFC East going to be at least better than a lot of people thought it would be with the resurgence possibly of Dallas and Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, and I think the Washington football team's defense will keep them in games. Mm. People, I think, on the surface would say, well, they can compete. I mean, they may not be much better than the NFC North, but they are. Prescott will throw for damn near 6,000 yards. Their offense will be a top five. Can their defense keep up? The Washington football team's defense, what about their offense? The Giants aren't very good, but the Eagles are better because they have one of the best and young, poised quarterbacks who threw the ball around the lot. It'll be a competitive division. I still think the Dallas Cowboys are the best, But I think it's a little closer now because Washington, if they can get a quarterback, and Philadelphia is not going to be a bye week.
Reaction or overreaction, Mac Jones is the real deal. And though not Tom Brady, is the true heir apparent to Tom Brady quarterbacking that club.
Yeah, this is, what is it called, overreaction? No, it's yes, he is. He's not Brady. Nobody is.
Right.
But he, for the next decade, is going to be the quarterback, and he'll set, put it this way, the gap's going to close between all those other teams, especially New England and Buffalo. Mac Jones is the real McCoy. His timing and his anticipation are best of any rookie in this class.
Final question, this lightning round, you kind of touched on it earlier. Despite the fact that he has won 23 of 31 games as a starter for the San Francisco 49ers, Jimmy Garoppolo is the worst quarterback in the NFC West, and it's not particularly close.
Yeah, unfortunately. And you know what? Think about the 2 years removed from the Super Bowl and a really good player. But Kyler Murray got a chance. Oh, well, all three of the other guys are legitimate top five MVP guys and probably will be top five, six, seven. Yes, somebody's going to have to beat up somebody. Garoppolo will throw 30 touchdowns if he stays healthy this year and will be considered the low, and it'll be his last year in San Francisco because Trey Lance will take over, which is phenomenal to know you can be that good and still lose your job. The other three are better, yes.
Did you get a chance, Sean, to watch any of the Peyton and Eli game cast last night?
It is. It'll turn out to be one of the best. Here's the problem. People are going to watch, and I love Steve Levy, and sure. I think that group does a great job. You're going to want, because you get clever and laughs, but you also get great analysis from some of the smartest guys that have ever played on a football field.
Yeah.
I just want to go on it once to sit in the same room as them just to have a blast. Yes, I thought they were phenomenal, and I think you're going to see more of that on the TV side because people want to hear real stuff, and I think you're actually going to see more of it on non-mainstream stuff. Because people want to hear people sit around talking nonsense and having fun, but they break it down. You're never going to get it broke down better. Phenomenal idea, and having those two in there is going to make for a great watch all year long.
It's so great because Jay and I were talking about it earlier, and I thought if I had to give a grade to it, I thought I'd give it a C yesterday only because, and you're going to know this better than anyone, Sean, because you made that seamless transition. Because their production team needs to help them a little bit more. I felt like some of the technical aspects, the broadcasting aspect of it, they were trying to call the game at some points, and they need a good producer to come in and say, guys, just do your thing, have fun. Bringing in guests that are on remote, and you've got three people in three different areas. I'm with you 100%. I think this is going to be one of the best sports broadcasts ever. They're just going to need a few games. And again, you know this better than anyone, of coaching. And you know you have two guys in there that study their craft just like they did at quarterback, and they're going to end up, I think, being balls out a few games.
And you know what they'll do? Knowing the Mannings like I do, they're going to study that like they did a game plan and say, we got to do this. The good stuff they already know about. They're going to go, we got to get this better production. If I was them with all the money ESPN and all of them make, I would fly the guest in.
Yep.
I would make sure they're all in the same place, and I would make sure they get teed up properly where they don't have to worry about too much technical. They can just let it rip and go and lead them down the right path. But, for them it's going to be a C, and for others that may have been a B for some others because I'm talking about being in the broadcast world. Sure. Eventually it'll be an A+, and it'll become a staple for ESPN, and other networks will start to follow suit on Sunday games too.
Sean Salisbury does his morning show in Houston for 4 hours each and every day. Then he comes straight on our show on Tuesdays. He does an hour in the Bay Area 5 days a week and God knows how many other guest spots. And we always appreciate getting a sliver of that time. Hell, Sean, I'd love to see you on that GameCast at some point. I'll bet you that happens sooner rather than later. At Sean Unfiltered on Twitter. Thanks so much, brother. So glad you're back this year. And we'll talk to you next Tuesday at 8:05.
Great to have you. Great to be back. And oh, by the way, if they did ask me to come on that, they wouldn't have to fly me. I'll just crawl there 10 miles over broken glass to get there, brother. Thanks for the time. Appreciate you guys. I love the lightning round, too. Thank you.
I appreciate it. It's Sean Salisbury with us, and we will take a break.
That was nice.
Coming up next.
You think reaction overreaction is the right way to do that? I feel like it's a little clunky. We may have to workshop that.
Yeah, that was a very last minute thing.
I don't want to do fact or fiction. I literally thought of it this morning at 4:45 and wanted to do it. We'll workshop that post game, okay?
Okay.
What's in a Blue Moon with Jay Mars coming up next?
The highest rated morning show on KHTK. The Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog, was a good friend of mine. I never understood a single word he said, but I helped him a drink in the wine. And he always had some mighty fine wine. Sing joy to the world. All the boys and girls now. Joy to the fishes in the deep blue sea. Joy to you and me. If I were the king of the world, I'd tell you what I'd do. I'd throw away the cars and the bars.
Well, tomorrow. The debut of the Eric Armstead show.
Featuring Eric Armstead.
You know, funny. That's exactly what happened. So we'll talk to Eric about a lot of things. We'll talk to him about the fourth quarter. Talk to him about his challenges in the game, how he thought he felt. And, you know, we're always going to ask him something not football every week. I want to do that. I want to ask him something not football-y. And we're going to do restaurants this week. Local. The great thing about Eric is he's a SAT guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a 916 guy. So, you know, we can ask him, hey, local restaurants.
All right.
What are his favorite local restaurants? If he was throwing a big game party, for example, like where's he getting takeout from? Also, they're in West Virginia, the Niners are. And I hear that, contrary to what probably would be popular belief, they actually really enjoy their time in West Virginia. Apparently they're at a resort or something having fun. There's gambling and stuff.
I feel like when you're an NFL player, no matter what city you go to, you're going to get the best out of it.
Yeah, true.
So.
Yeah, you're not staying at a...
not staying at Motel right. 6.
Hey, what's wrong with Motel 6? Right? Okay. All right. Once in a blue moon right now.
Once in a Blue Moon, brought to you by Blue Moon Beer. Here's Jay Mar.
Hey, this one today is from Stats by Stats.
Oh, good.
Derek Carr of the Raiders is the first quarterback in NFL history to throw for 400-plus yards and have the game-winning TD pass in OT in a season opener.
Oh, well, that's a lot of season to open.
There's a ton of season to open, but that's not the fun one.
Okay.
So earlier we played a clip of John Gruden saying Darren Waller's the best player he's ever
yes,
coached.
I remember that. As a matter of fact, I have it right here. I mean, that's a really big compliment.
I thought he mishandled a ball or two, uncharacteristically. He had a penalty called back, a big catch and run. He's the best player I've ever coached, so I'm going to continue to look for him. And sorry about that, Vic, but you know he's a hell of a player. He deserves some good looks.
Well, there you go. So based on that, we started wondering, Jay, you've done some crack research.
So Darren Waller had his best year last year at 28, made the Pro Bowl, mm-hmm. played in all 16 games, 107 receptions,
okay.
1,196 yards.
Okay, so 107, 1,000 what?
1,196.
Okay.
And 9 touchdowns.
Okay.
That's a fine season, right?
It's a fine year indeed.
So Jerry Rice played one year under John Gruden, 2001. Yes. He was 39 years old, 11 years the elder.
11 years even.
Jerry Rice
yeah.
played in all 16 games.
Okay.
Jerry Rice had 1,139 yards on 83 receptions, 9 touchdowns.
Okay. So Darren
At
Waller.
39.
Darren Waller, if it was between Darren Waller and Jerry Rice, Darren Waller is the best player that John Gruden's ever coached.
Jerry Rice is the best player John Gruden's ever coached. He did that at 39.
Doesn't matter. We're talking.
It matters.
The spirit of what John Gruden said is that
he has
coached, meaning head coach of the Raiders.
Jerry Rice is the best player he's ever coached.
No, because first off, not only are Darren Waller's numbers bad, it doesn't matter how old. I don't care if Jerry Rice is 74.
Best season.
Yeah.
Is on par with Jerry Rice's non-Pro Bowl
Yet
season
better.
At 39.
Yeah, better.
Barely.
But better.
Barely.
And by the way, I don't like comparing tight end numbers to receiver numbers. Here's why.
Darren Waller's a receiver at this point.
But Darren Waller, let's see what Jerry Rice's numbers look like when he blocks like Darren Waller. Let's see what Jerry Rice's numbers are.
Jerry Rice wasn't a bad blocker,
though.
He
wasn't a bad blocker, but he did not have the responsibilities of a tight end. And I'm not saying Darren Waller mixes it up like George Kittle.
It was 39.
That doesn't matter.
It does matter.
You sound like the guys that come in America. Joe Lewis was 137 years old. I don't care. He lost the fight. Jerry Rice, when he was coached by John Gruden, did not have the season Darren Waller had. I can't believe it. How am I defending John Gruden?
I don't know, because it's a pretty defenseless defense.
Because I have a commitment to truth.
Your truth and nothing but your truth, so help you God, apparently.
The truth.
Jerry Rice is a better player than Darren Waller.
Of course Jerry Rice is a better player.
Darren Waller's not the best player he's ever coached.
The best player while he coached him.
And we're not even talking about some of the guys he had on those Tampa on that Tampa Super Bowl team.
Yeah, I didn't even think about Tampa.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, is
again, John Gruden is the king of hyperbole.
Sorry, Darren Waller is not better than a prime Derek Brooks.
Thank you.
Sorry. I thought we were just talking about Raiders.
No, he said best player coached.
If you want to extend the argument to other, I'm not saying Darren Waller is the best player he ever coached.
He is. That's the problem.
You and I are arguing about, is Darren Waller, when he was coached by John Gruden, better than Jerry Rice when he was coached by John Gruden? And I say
no.
Yes.
Darren Waller is the best player. I feel like this is disrespect to Darren Waller. It's not. Darren Waller is a phenomenal tight end.
I am.
It's just John Gruden just talks out of both sides of his you know what.
I am as big of a Jerry Rice honk as anyone.
Are you?
Yes.
You would never know.
But because I can put my personal feelings aside for the sake of truthful analysis.
Dude, we sound like a debate show right now.
We kind of do. Seattle is going to host the 2023 Major League Baseball All-Star Game.
Good for them.
Yeah, it's a fine park, and it's a fine city to...
I've taken BP in that park. It's fun.
Wait, what? Hold on. First off... hold on. That 1,000,000,000%.
I'll send you the picture.
That does not get... Hold on. Ooh, I'm Jay. I've taken batting practice at Seattle's park. Was it Safeco Field or whatever?
Used to be.
Wow.
It was Safeco when I was there.
Look at you.
No, that's fair. A good
one. Congratulations, Jay.
Hold on. I'm sending you a picture
right
now.
That's pretty awesome. I've never taken batting practice in a major league field.
Oh, you have to do it.
I would love to.
Amazing.
I don't know how well I do now.
You get the ball to the outfield.
I will be in Seattle next month, as a matter of fact.
Jesus, dude. How much vacation are you
taking? No vacation. Flying out Friday, coming back Sunday.
Oh, man, it's a perfect shot of me, too, hitting the ball that I just sent you. Look at my form.
Let's see this. Hold on.
That's a kid that played JV baseball.
This is where if we had a producer... We could put this up on.
See my name on the big screen in the back?
Oh, my God, I do. How did this happen? Wait, hold on. This is a Macklemore thing?
Yes.
Wait, hold on. How did you?
Well, Dave, I don't know if you know this about me, but I used to be a music director.
Yeah,
of platinum and gold records.
But how does that translate into you in Sacramento taking batting practice in Seattle?
Select talent was asked to go.
Wow.
And I was one of them.
Also, not for nothing, but there's no proof that you made contact with this ball. You could have absolutely swung under it and missed.
Could have.
Is that an aluminum bat?
Yes, it is. I think I was going to use a wood bat.
Okay.
Try to get the ball in the outfield, bud.
All right, be honest. What was the closest you got to the wall?
I got the ball in the outfield like four times, like legit line drives, but yeah. I got nowhere near the wall.
No?
No. Do I look like a guy that has warning track power to you?
Okay, let me ask you this. With an aluminum bat, and 12 hours, meaning you can take rests whenever you want. Do you think, you have $100,000. If you do it, you get $1,000,000. If you don't, you lose the $100,000. Could you hit one over the wall?
No.
12 hours, aluminum bat. Really?
No.
I'll take that bet.
I don't have that power.
Really?
Like, I would have to make contact.
Even Slim Down Jay?
Slim Down Jay does not have that power. Sorry. Was not known for my home run hitting when I played.
USC has fired Clay Helton, by the way.
Was quick. Urban Meyer will have that job in 6 weeks.
That was Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer.
I'm telling you,
Urban Meyer sees that USC job right now, and it's like staring at him. He wants to go hug and cuddle with it.
Also, sad news. Former Niners linebacker Paris Harrelson passed away yesterday.
Yeah, that was shocking.
37 years old. No idea, at least I haven't seen why, what happened. Not that it really matters.
I don't think there's a cause of death out yet.
37 years old. My goodness gracious. All right, a couple more notes.
And I don't know where you're going from here, but I will tell you I have some news that's going to make you upset.
Is it breaking?
And I wouldn't give it. It's not that breaking. It's breaking, but not enough for a sound.
Let's do this. All right. There you go. It's like partially breaking.
NBA coaches to continue to wear casual attire during the 21-22 season. I know that's a...
I don't like
that. I know that bothers you.
I just don't like that.
I know you hate polos.
I hate polos.
The zip-up jackets.
Put them back in the suits, would
you agree.
Please?
I like the suit look.
But then again, they're the only... Of the three majors, they're the only ones that still wear suits. Football, you know, you wear football gear. Baseball, you wear a uniform. I want them in suits, but if they're not going to wear suits, they should be in full uniform.
I agree.
With the tank top, mm-hmm. jersey, I think some of these coaches.
Shooting shirts.
Who would look the dumbest?
Greg Popovich.
You're so right. Popping a full Spurs jersey. Finally, Bleacher Report has printed a redraft of the 2017 NBA draft.
For those that don't know, this is the De'Aaron Fox draft, if I'm not mistaken.
Number one, Jason Tatum. No
Correct.
Surprise. Number two, Donovan Mitchell.
Correct.
Well, I think that's about right. Although number three, Bam Adebayo, has a small argument, but I think they got it right.
I'd go Donovan Mitchell.
Number four, Lonzo Ball.
Incorrect. That's a really incorrect take. That's a Lonzo Ball.
Number five, John Collins.
Okay.
Number six, De'Aaron Fox.
So they had Lonzo Ball two slots over De'Aaron Fox. That's interesting.
Who's getting fired there? And why would they voluntarily risk their job this way?
That Lonzo's still top 10.
Sure. Fine. He's top 10.
Four and then Fox six.
What?
I would have gone Fox four, Collins five, and then maybe Lonzo at six.
That's just, people get paid to do this. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
I mean, what are you thinking? My goodness gracious. All right, listen. What's on tap coming up next? We got a crossover. Then I see you inserted a story in here. I know nothing about this.
Oh, I have it.
Oh, God. Florida State and Jacksonville State proposal.
It just gets worse for your Seminoles.
We'll do it now.
Yeah, let's go. Come on.
Uh-huh. It's What's on Tap. Here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's What's on Tap. Brought to you by
nobody. Nobody gets a sponsor today.
No?
No.
Wow.
I'm so over this. No sponsor.
You're over it not being sponsored?
Correct. So
wow.
No. Nobody.
Okay.
Nobody gets a shout out. Nobody gets a plug. Nobody gets a high five.
What about I told you so texters?
Oh, God. That's even worse. But something tells me you're going to take it
there.
The
amount
so
of I told you so's today. The Raiders won. Told you. You get no respect from me until you post all of your predictions.
Your entire life, by the way.
But if you sit back and just wait... And then you fire up the I told you so's only when you're right. You're the worst. Listen, everyone's wrong, dude. I've been wrong so many times. It's what happens. I don't care about being wrong. Happens. You get paid to make predictions. But you can't just sit back. You can't do that. Sorry.
Foul.
Foul. Tactical foul.
Red card.
Red card. All of it, even.
I know a red card is now because I watched Ted Lasso.
Look at you.
Look at me.
That's targeting.
I'm learning about soccer's.
A's and Royals today.
Do you know what's called a pitch and not a field?
Yeah, did you? Wow, I did not. It's amazing.
Boots, not cleats.
Ah.
I'll be damned.
Yeah, football.
What? Wait, what?
Yeah, it's called football.
No, it's called soccer, silly.
Let me ask you this. What is the soccer equivalent of baseball or football's standings? What do they call it?
They're not, leaderboard?
Nope.
Winners?
Nope. Not called the standings. It's where they list all the teams in order of won and lost.
No idea.
The tables.
That's dumb.
No, it's like a table, you know, like a mathematical table. Actually makes more sense. But I think it's weird, too.
Yeah, no, it's standings.
Don't get me wrong. Yorktown, baby. You should change it.
Yep.
England. Royals, Athletics, all that action right here, 5:10, right here in the Sporte, 11:40. Does Jay have a show? Did Jason have a show today?
He has a baby show today.
Frankie Montas on the mound for the A's, 6:45, the Padres and Giants. I took a deep look at this one. Now, you never know in baseball. But today, Anthony Desclafani, 11-6, 3.33 ERA, going up against older yet former star Jake Arrieta. We know him
much older.
We know him from the Chicago Cubs, where he was earlier this year. Jake Arrieta is not trending well. So Jake's ERA in July was, or excuse me, in June, was 8.31. Jake's ERA in July was 14.29. Jake's ERA in August was 13.5.
Improved.
He's had one start in September where he, listen, let's give him credit where credit's due. He's cut it almost in half. 7.04 ERA.
So he is trending in the right way.
Five innings, three earned. He is trending down.
ERA-ically speaking.
Ugh. So
I think Jake Arrieta's better days are behind him.
I think it might be. By the way, he's only 35 years old.
Yeah, baseball, that's old.
Yeah, I guess so. All right.
I'm 35.
What's this dumb story of yours?
Okay. As you know, Dave.
Yeah.
May have heard.
Yeah.
FSU was upset by Jacksonville State.
Did that happen?
Saturday.
I didn't know.
Yeah, it happened.
Yeah, thanks.
Did no one tweeted you about it?
No, nobody.
No one texted in?
Nah.
Okay. But wait, there's more.
Okay.
An FSU player after the game proposed on the field at Doak Campbell Stadium.
Wow.
And if you watch the video of the proposal, there's still Jackson State people like celebrating all in the background. Who proposes after losing a game like that?
Yeah, you know.
And the visiting team is in the background.
Planting their flag, much as he was trying to do.
If you're a girl, if you're Mrs. Whoever going to be soon, like, that's the proposal story you're going to remember, is your man's proposing to you after they just got their you-know-whats handed to them by Jacksonville State. And the picture of the proposal in the background is the opposing team's fans.
So she's signing up to be Mrs. Loser.
Yes.
And if you're this
guy, it's a bad omen, right?
You play in a sport where, and it looks like it's an offensive lineman, you're playing in a sport where audibles are part of the game.
Right.
Maybe you call an audible.
Omaha, that thing, bro.
Wait until after a win. Hey, how did you and mom get, how did dad propose to you? Well, after one of the most stunning home losses and embarrassing home losses in program history, he decided to propose to me while players in the background were dancing in our end zone. Listen, I wish them all the best. I truly do. But I'm telling you right now, that marriage has no chance.
I was going to say, your well wishes won't matter.
If that is the type of decision-making you have, your marriage has zero shots. Because what's next? Yeah, you do kind of look fat in that dress.
Oh.
Wee. I'm just saying, dude.
Yeah.
Like, obviously the guy can't think on his feet. You're going to trust him with a baby?
Can't even
a
trust
family?
Him to protect the quarterback.
No. Crossover time.
Who is it?
What's happening on the afternoons with Jason Ross?
Who wants the boss?
Let's find out right now with the crossover. Here's today's crossover.
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
Crossover time. The other day at the office, there was some candy sitting around. Hadn't had candy in a long time. And there was a tiny little like trial size box of Nerds. I haven't had Nerds in forever. But anyway, I was then starting to think about candy names and random names of candy. So if there is a Carmichael Dave candy or candy bar, a J. Mars candy or candy bar, what would you name it?
What would you name it? That was a curveball. I thought he was going to say, like, what would be in it?
What would you name your candy
bar? Would I name it Awesome Bar? No, you know what? Because here's what I would make. I would make kind of a Hershey's Kiss style thing, but filled with Reese's style peanut butter. So I know they have Reese's Pieces, and I know they have Reese's Cups, and I know they have all kind of Reese's Bars even. I would, but think of a Hershey's Kiss style thing with that kind of harder chocolate that gives way when you crunch it with the Reese's peanut butter inside. Maybe even a wetter, sort of moister. There you go. Moister. And I would call it, I would call them awesome drops. You eat them and you're awesome.
I would create the bootleg bar. So it's basically, I would replicate like a very popular candy, like ingredients down to a T, but it'd just be the bootleg version. And it'd be like 5 cents cheaper and I'd make a huge profit.
Wait, hold on. What would the, what would be the ingredients again?
Depend. Like, so pick a candy bar. So let's say take something popular like a Reese's. It would be Reese's.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be. It would be the bootleg version.
Okay.
Bootleg bars. And they're cheaper. They're like 5 cents cheaper. You can't go wrong.
Jason, crossover time. Feel free to go around the room here. Since you got us thinking about candy, here's my question for all of you. Assume that you have the ingredients on hand or the item on hand. What is your favorite go-to no-no midnight or late-night snack? What's your go-to? First-round pick. For Jay, for Sean Salisbury, I'm Dave. Jim Rome is next. Bye-bye now.